Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I love church. Love it. Man, do I love it. Like every week is something different, something new, something exciting, something that changes your life. You know what? We have multiple services in the morning, right? And sometimes people will go to both services or because of whatever reason. And usually the tendency that you'll see is people in the second service will check out a little bit because they think they've heard the message before. They've heard the message before. That's because we go with ears thinking through what I've already heard. And I've already heard all of it instead of going in with ears of what else can I learn? And what else can I get? Here's the thing. You could have been in church for 50 years. This might be your millionth church service that you've been in. Like, you might be a professional Christian tonight. Like, you got all the tabs in your Bibles. Like, everything's highlighted. The pages are falling out. Like, if there was a business card that said professional Christian, it would be you. That would be your life, right? That can be it, but then because we come in with a different perspective, we come in with a different heart, we come in with ears ready to hear. After 50 years, 60 years, 20 years, 1 year, it changes. Everything clicks. Everything shifts. That's the moment. That's the moment I believe that you fully start following Jesus. It's a moment where you say, man, it's gone from here to here. It's a moment where you feel, it's like I can't stand, I can't speak, I can't move. All I feel is consumed with Him. Tonight, that can be your story. Tonight, that can be your story. We have this term, us Christians have this term, and we say, get lost in worship. Get lost in worship. And it has turned into a Christianese term, but it's not. Getting lost in worship is just simply, really, if you're driving and you get lost, the reason that you're lost is because you just forgot where you're at. So when we say get lost in worship, it's because what we want you to do is forget where you're at. Forget the bill. Forget the pain. Forget the hurt. Forget the heartache. Forget the disease. Forget the setback. Forget the shortage. Forget what is happening around you. Forget where you're at. And just tonight, can you get lost? Can you get lost in Him tonight? Can you get lost in His presence? Can you get lost in His goodness? Can you get lost in His provision? Can you get lost in His healing? Can you get lost in where He is at? So that the only thing that you get, the only thing that's going through your mind, your heart, your body, is God, you're so good to me. God, I want to get consumed with You. Your goodness, Your mercy, Your breakthrough, Your healing. God, more of You. More of You. More of You. That can be your story tonight. This can be your moment where everything changes, where everything shifts, where it moves from here to here. That can be it. In Jesus' name. That's why I love church. That's why it's never ordinary. It's always extraordinary. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It was incredible being at East Campus this morning. Pastor Michael and Lisa Hunley are like the best people in the world. Pastor Michael is the Jack Ryan of C3 San Diego, just in case you you're getting a tight squeeze, just call on him. He'll help you out. Other than the fact that he doesn't like coffee, which to me is messed up, Pastor Samuel. It's like, so I'm still praying. I gave an altar call trying to get him to respond to it this morning for the coffee thing. It just didn't work. But they are phenomenal people. And, So, anyways, all right, give somebody a high five. Yes. Stay. Stay with me. Let's go. You guys are ready for it. Man, how amazing are Bryce and Haley Betlem, too? A couple weeks ago, Bryce was playing with holes in his... He probably still has holes from getting his wisdom teeth out and was killing it. And everybody thought, man, Bryce just must be really into it, like really touched by God. No, he just had his teeth like just pulled out. So he's like, oh, my goodness. But we've been doing church for a long time together, many years. Bryce is incredible. Moved here from Australia, left everything to pursue a call of God. It's amazing what happens when you do. The devil wants to lie to you, tell you that when you leave everything to go after God, that you're missing out. You're missing out. You'll be reminded with all the things that you're missing out on. Even on Sundays, he'll do that right now. In fact, there's people right now, you think you're missing out on something because you're not at it. You're here. You think you're missing out, but you're not missing out. You're not missing out. You're not losing something. You're about to step into something. You're about to experience something. But I'm telling you, the presence of God here, where the presence of God is, anything is possible. I want to live in the place where anything is possible, where anything can happen, where we're just in a moment you can get healed, where just in a moment that person who's struggling with an addiction can get set free. I want to live in that place, and it can happen here. It can happen when we come with an expectation of believing God. I believe that you can do whatever. I believe that you're the king and I'm not, that you reign and not anybody else, that it's up to you. God, I'm ready and I'm willing to see you do what I've never seen before. What if tonight we saw something that we've never seen? What if tonight you experienced something you've never experienced? What if tonight God did something for the first time in your life? What if it all changed? What if this was a moment where a fire got ignited on the inside of you and you walked out of these doors saying, there it is. That's the moment I've been waiting for. That's it. That's it, and that's what God wants to do. So I want to give you this message. I want to read this verse and then give you this message, and then we're going to believe that God's going to do a miracle in everybody's life. In Psalms chapter 61, it says this. It says, hear my cry, O God. This is David. Hear my cry, O God. I apologize to the media team, who is the best in the world. Media, sound, lighting. I mean, that video. Oh, my gosh. I want somebody to film me with my hair blowing all over my face. I just... Like, it's just... Or the one when you're in the water, you just come out of the water like that. Like, has anybody ever, like, desired that? It's just... It's like one of the things. Anyways. I was saying they're phenomenal because they made a screenshot for a message I'm not even going to preach. So, I apologize. So... With that said, Psalms chapter 61, King David says this. He says, hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. All of us have a place that we go to. All of us have a thing that we turn to when everything is going wrong around us. All of us have that thing, that person, that drug, that alcohol, that program, that screen. All of us have that thing. That thing's called our fix. That's the thing that we go to. We end up living our life in that thing. We end up trying to fill that void, that emptiness, because of hurt that's happening in our world. Every one of us has that void. Every single one of us tonight has that fix. Yours might be a little thing, but a little thing will always grow. A little thing will always turn into a big thing if we don't be careful with it. So tonight, I don't know what that thing is, but the title of this message tonight is Painkillers. Because all of us have an issue in our world. All of us have a void that we need to fill. All of us have a fix that we go to. All of us are turning to this thing that's trying to fulfill our need and our lack of something. But we've only seen our life get worse and not better. It's because we're turning to the wrong thing. And so that's what I see. I see so many people right now, especially around our world, who are turning to everything else but Jesus to help their need, to help their thing. And so I'm looking and I'm wondering, okay, God, why is it? See, David had the same problem. David had a lot of issues. But the one thing he had that is so inspiring is anytime anything happened to him that was bad, he always went to God. He says, I know I messed up. I know I have problems. I know I have issues. But one thing I got going for me is when everything goes wrong, I go to God. He's my fix. The question tonight is, God, your fix? Is God your thing? Is God the place that you go to? The person that you turn to? Or is it something else? Or what is the something else? What is the little thing? What is the big thing? What is the thing that's ruling our mind, changing our lives? What's the thing that's robbing us of joy, of contentment, of peace, of breakthrough, of hope? What is the thing tonight that is stealing everything good from you? So I'm looking at it and saying, okay, I know everybody has it, but why? Why does everybody have to, and why does everybody go to it? And I believe the reason that is because of a thing called pain. It's because some of us had pain. We all have an issue. We all have pain from something. Pain from what somebody did to us. Pain from what somebody said to us. Pain from disappointment. Pain from abuse. Whether it be physical, emotionally. We have pain in our lives. And what pain does to us, pain hurts us. And so our body has a natural response to pain, and is never to walk towards it. It is always to want to run away from it. And anytime we have pain, we don't want to live in that place, so we run from it. That's why we're prescribed painkillers. Because our body has a tendency to run away from pain, and pain hurts us. And so we're prescribed painkillers when we go through something traumatic or have an issue or have a hurt. And what the painkillers do is they intercede with our nervous system that is going from the place of hurt to our brain. And it stops it so that our brain doesn't think and believe that we have pain anymore. And that's exactly what you and I do as well. Because if pain happens, pain happens to us from a person, from a situation, from an experience. Pain happens to us. We then take a painkiller, and it might be a physical thing, but for most of us, it's not an actual painkiller, it's something else. All of us have a painkiller, and anytime something happens to us that reminds us of that hurt, we go to that thing and that fix. We go to that painkiller. We go to that place. And we think it helps us, and we think because I can't feel it anymore that I'm good. And it numbs us, and it hurts us, all because of this place of pain. All because this thing that happened to you, happened around you. Some of you have been walking and dealing with it for your whole lives. Some of you have had pain since you were a little kid because of what your dad did or your mom did. Or a loved one did, or a leader did. And our response is this: I'll never be hurt again. So anytime anything that resembles that pain happens, I will turn to my fix. Because we don't want to be around it, because it reminds us of hurt and pain and trauma. And we have this thing. And the thing with it is this, is we know. We know we shouldn't be doing it. We know we shouldn't be living in it. And we sometimes say, I don't want to do this, but I can't help myself. I don't want to live here. I don't want to think here. I don't want to have that bitterness, that unforgiveness. I don't want to have that thing, but I don't know how to get out of it. We don't know how to get out of it because just like painkillers, we get addicted to it. We get addicted to the pain. We get addicted to the painkillers. We get addicted to that thing that is numbing us. And now the very thing that's meant to help us ends up killing us. The very thing that's meant to help our pain and help our hurt eventually just ends up ruining our lives. And what ends up happening is just like if you talk to anybody who's been addicted to anything, the pain to get out of something is greater than the pain to stay in it. You talk to anybody, they don't want to go through withdrawals because the pain of going through withdrawals is harder than the pain of just staying in the mess that they're in. That's the whole deception with the painkiller. That's the whole deception with the fix. That's the whole deception. That's why the devil wants to entice you with all of these things. Hey, don't deal with your pain. Just numb it. Just mask it. Just put something and cover it. It's a story in the Bible of that. There's a man who died on the road, and these people were marching trying to get to their destination. And they couldn't get to their destination because there was a man who was dead in the road. But they covered him. People couldn't see him. They covered him. But it wasn't until they grabbed him and moved him away from sight that the people could get to their destination. So many of us right now, we are covering our pain and wondering why we can't get freedom and breakthrough and deliverance and a miracle, because it's still there and we're still looking at it. See, God doesn't want you to cover something tonight. He wants you to get rid of that thing. This is a night where we get rid of that thing that is causing us pain. What is your fix? What is the painkiller? What's the thing that's numbing that issue in your life? If you think about it right now, what's the fix that you're going to? Is it a drug? Is it alcohol? Is it TV? You know what I've seen now is I've seen is Netflix has become our thing. Netflix has become our painkiller. How do I know that? Because everybody's talking about binge watching. Why do we binge watch? Why can we not help ourselves? And next thing you know, we've just watched 27 episodes of This Is Us, and it's all like we're in this crazy place. All just one more, and it's 3 a.m. You got to wake up at 6, but you're still going and watching this thing. You can't help yourself. It's like just the next one and the next one and the next one. And I was thinking, I'm like, why is that? Why can't we just put it away and turn it off? The reason we can't is because we don't like the life that we actually live. So we'd rather stay in the fake one. And so the binge watching, the TV shows have become our painkiller. Because we get in that thing, we get in that life, we get in that and we think that this is the life, the reality that we live in. And anytime we have to turn that off, we have to go back to the place of pain. And we don't like the place of pain because it reminds us of the hurt that somebody did towards us. So we live our life watching TV, we live our life on our device, we live our life in places that we shouldn't live, all because of the pain that happened to us. And tonight I'm telling you, if you can just get free from that thing, if you can just turn away from that painkiller and turn towards God, you're going to have a life of freedom, a life that you can't wait to wake up, a life that you can't wait to live, a life that you can't wait to worship. There's that moment that is coming from all of us, but we have to get to that place where we turn away from that. And we run towards Him. What is your thing? The thing we become addicted to ends up actually killing us. It numbs it for a season. It numbs it for a moment. But just like anything that is not good for you, what you started with only grows. You only need more and more. And it doesn't lead up, it only leads down. And now tonight you're so stuck in that place, you don't know how to get out of it. You're so stuck in that place of depression and hatred of yourself. You want to get out. You want to get free. You want to break out. You want to live. You want to go to emerge. You want to go to cherish. But every time you think about it, the pain to get out of it is greater than the pain to stay in it. So you stay in your place, you're going to stay home, and you're going to look at it, and you're going to feel bad about yourself even more, and you're going to go deeper into that place of pain, all because that pain reminds you of something. It reminds you of what somebody spoke to you, and you don't want to get out of that thing because you might have to confront the issue of pain. You might have to, the byproduct of it might be a pornography addiction, but the pornography addiction is not the issue. The issue is that pain. The reason that you turn to that thing, the reason that you started looking at that thing is because this pain that happened to you when you were a young man. And the reason you don't want to go to emerge is because you know there you have to deal with that thing. The little boy in you has to come back. The little boy that you killed, the little man that you did away with, the little person that you haven't talked to because that person's in pain and you've forgotten about it. In fact, in you, if I was to ask you, you wouldn't even be able to remember it because you've so numbed it. You so numb the hurt, that's the words that's spoken over you. And that's when we make those judgments, I'll never forgive, I'll never trust, I'll never go to these things. We end up living in that place of judgment. Now the devil has rule over our lives because we put in this place. Made that judgment to us. We won't go to cherish because that means we have to isolate ourselves. And the last time we stepped out, the last time we put ourselves out there, that people looked at us funny. So we won't go to cherish because it reminds us of the pain. And anytime I'm exposed to pain, just like my body, I run away from it. And And I turn to this thing and this show and this drug and this person. There's so many of you right now, you're in relationships that you shouldn't be in. And you wonder why do I keep going from relationship to relationship that never ends up working? Is because you're looking to the person to be the painkiller, to numb the pain, the hurt. And tonight is the night that we're in a relationship series, and so many of our relationships are affected and determine the fruitfulness by our ability to deal with the pain, to deal with that pain that we're struggling with. What's your fix? What's the thing? And just like physical painkillers, the more they'll tell you, the more painkillers you take, the more it actually stunts your growth. The growth in your brain. Your brain stops growing when you have too many painkillers in your life. You and I stop growing. That's why you see everybody. Why I keep going to church. I keep doing these things. Why does it seem like everybody is getting promoted? Why does it seem like everybody's growing? Why does the thing seem like everybody else is developing faster than me, and I keep staying down here? It's because there's a pain in your life you keep masking over instead of dealing with. Does it hurt? Absolutely. I was telling this story at East Campus this morning, but I had something stuck in my thumb when I was working for a plumbing company, stuck in my thumb right here, and I got most of it out, but a little bit was left. Just a little bit. Just a tiny little thing in my thumb, and I thought, oh, it's okay. I got most of it out. It'll probably be okay. But it wasn't okay. After a couple days, my thumb was huge, swollen, in the most pain of my life. Just my little thumb. It's amazing what a tiny little thing can do. Like I couldn't touch anything. It was throbbing. Felt like my heart moved to my thumb. We've all had that before, right? That thing. I'm like, man, I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now, because I thought I got all of it. I mean, it was just a little bit. Just a little bit left in here. It was just a tiny little thing that's in here. Why is it so bad now? Because we let it go, and anything you let go is just going to increase and multiply in your life. So I remember showing up to work saying, I can't work. I can't even move right now. My thumb is killing me. And when my boss comes up to me, he just grabs my hand and squeezes my thumb as hard as he can. One of the hard, most excruciating pains I've ever felt in my life. For a moment. But you want to know what came after? Healing. It hurt for a moment, but healing came after. So many of us don't want to respond to the altar because it hurts for a moment. So many of us don't want to put our hand up and say, yeah, I got a struggle, I got a thing, I got some pain. We don't want to do it because it hurts. Because it reminds us of the pain that we're dealing with, and so we'll stay away from the place of breakthrough and change because of the little pain that we got to deal with. Now's the time when we got to let some people squeeze our thumb. You got to let somebody squeeze that place of pain so you can get healing for the first time in your life. You've been living your life at 50%. You've been living your life with one hand. Get free. Get free. Get healing. Get breakthrough. Get a miracle tonight and see what it's like. Oh my gosh, see what it's like to live in freedom, to live in healing. That's the life he's got for us. That's the life he's calling us to live. That's why we bring people forward. It's not to hurt you. It's to heal you. Don't let the pain of getting out of it be greater than the pain of staying in it. You got to step. You got to move. That's why Jesus came to the disciples and said, leave where you're at. Follow me. Sometimes you just got to leave where you're at. Follow him. That's what David did. That's what we learned from him. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Tonight, he's got to change your identity. He's got to change what you think of yourself. The words that you've spoken over yourself. I'm a failure. Addicted. This is my name. I am an alcoholic. Who told you that? Who told you that? You're going to live your life believing that you're your pain? Believing that you're that thing? Or can you you step into the new day and say, no, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the head, I'm not the tail. I'm above and I'm not beneath. I've gone through some things, but I am not that thing. That's what God wants to do tonight. The life of freedom is a life. Man, it's a life. It hurts. That's why getting in a connect group and to emerge and to cherish is a stretch. And why is it that it's always a fight to get people to things? I wish it just wasn't. I wish just for like one, just do us a favor for the team. I'm speaking on behalf of our team. Do us a favor just for like 1 year and just sign up the first week. I secretly want that. I just know it's never going to happen. The reason I do is because all of us have it hurt. All of us have this pain. All of us have this thing. It's always a struggle to get somebody across the line because the devil knows when you get them across the line, healing comes. We have people that say, oh, merge, it's just not my thing. It's just not my personality type. When has emerge been a personality type? When has it been just for the emotional sensitive guys? For emotional sensitive guys. What in the world does that even mean? Emerge is for every person. Well, I'm good. Well, then help somebody else. Like, nobody's excluded from that. But, oh, well, I'm hard. You don't know I'm hard, man. I'm good. I'm tough. I can't deal with that thing. No, you can't. You're not hard, because if I was to dig down and find that little boy, you'd start crying. That little place of hurt, because all of us got our thing. All of us got our something. The rest of the team can come out with me. When I'm in pain, lead me to the rock. When I'm abandoned, lead me to the rock. When I'm hurting, lead me to the rock. When I'm addicted, lead me to the rock. When I keep stumbling, lead me to the rock. When I'm abandoned, when people have let me down, lead me to the rock. When people make fun of me, lead me to the rock. When I'm insecure, lead me to the rock. When I'm selfish, lead me to the rock. We have to make a decision right now. Where are you going to turn? Where are you going to turn? I remember a few years ago, I was sitting right here on the front row. And man, it was just one of those days. I didn't want to worship. You ever been there? You're just like, you know what? I'm just going to chill today. It's just going to be my chill day. I'm just going to like sit down and I'm just going to receive. I'm just going to receive. I'm just going to sit here with my hands in my pocket or, you know, like the half Christian thing like this, like just so that people don't think something's wrong. I'm just going to keep my hands here, close my eyes and do this. But really, I'm like jacked up on the inside. That's reality right there. So we all do that. Oh, Jesus, you're so good. And you're just thinking about what's for dinner. Jesus, can't wait for vacation. You know that? Like, more like, you know, 3 or 4 times a month. That's what we do. So that's where we live. And that's where I'm at. I'm at that place. Like one hand's in my pocket. So I just got the one hand up, you know, kind of thing. And because life sucked at that moment. The reality is life sucked at that moment. I was hurting. I was in pain. We say, God, just for once, just let me be in my place of pain. Just let me stay here. And God's like, okay, you can stay there. But are you really going to let the devil steal your worship? You might be able to take so many other things. You might be able to mess with so many other things. But there has to be a place. Some place that's just off limits. And I made a decision from that day that my worship is off limits to the devil. My worship is off limits. Let me tell you why. The devil was a worship leader. He had his opportunity to worship. He lost it. Which means every time you worship, he can't follow you. He can't go to that place when you worship. Every time you lift your hands up and get lost in worship, he's got to check himself at the door. He lost his right to mess with you in worship. He can't go there. He doesn't know what it's like to worship anymore. You just got to lift your hands and cry out. You might get all the words wrong on the screen. It doesn't matter. Just go to that place and get lost. Lose yourself. Forget about everything that's happening around you and lift your hands. Oh, God. Freedom comes. Hope comes. Healing comes. He can't mess mess with you. Back off my life. Back off my family. Back off my finances. Back off my children. Back off everything. Because I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise him. In the midnight hour, the disciples started praising God. Let me tell you what's so amazing about it. They start praising God and they get set free. Every prisoner in the prison, the shackles come off and the doors open up. Every single prisoner can run away, except they don't. They were set free and all of them stayed. Because imprisonment, it's not a physical thing, it's a mind thing. Every single one of them got set free that night. So free, they didn't have to leave the prison that they were in, because they were free here, and they were free here. So many of us are trying to change our physical surroundings. If I just get another job, if I just get another person, if I just get married again, everything will be different because I'm different. No, you're not. And we try to change everything else but this. That's the reason that we bring people to the front. That's the reason that we pray. That's the reason that we believe in miracles. Because what it is, it's a moment where you can leave your seat and you can come down forward. You can get to that place where God frees your heart and he frees your mind and he frees your life. And so you can go back to the same job that you've hated for 10 years. And you can go and you say, man, I've never seen my job like this before. I've never seen the people like this before. I used to hate that guy. Now I keep crying every time I look at him because I no longer see the bully. I no longer see the lazy person. Now I see the broken person. Now I see the hurting person, because God set you free. Because God broke you out of that prison that you were in. Tonight, God wants to set you free from that prison that you're in. See, God is not our painkiller. He's our healer. He's not the one that masks it, that it numbs it. He's the one that sets us free from it. So now I can face it. And now the place of pain becomes my place of testimony. You've never been able to talk about it. You've never been able to go there. You've never been able to deal with it. Jesus shows up to his disciples after he rose from the dead, after they nailed his hands to the cross and his feet to the cross and a spear through his side, and he shows up to his disciples and he says, hey guys, come here, you want to see something? Touch this. And Jesus lets the disciples touch every wound that he has, every place, every scar that he has, and he lets them touch it, and there's no pain. There's no pain because it's no longer a wound, it's a scar. How do you know if you need to deal with that thing in your life right now is when I talk about it, does it still hurt? Can I touch it? Can I put my hand on the place of hurt right now and talk about the abuse that happened in your world? Or every time I do you cringe? Because it's still a wound. God hasn't healed it. See, tonight God wants to heal that thing, so now you can talk about it. How can you talk about that? Well, because it's a scar now. It's no longer a wound. God healed it. And now my greatest place of pain is now my greatest testimony. And now people are getting set free from what the devil told me I'll never get free from. The devil wants to lie to you and tell you you're going to die in that place. And God wants to tell you, no, you're going to get set free from it. And people are going to live from it. Man, that's what God is in the business of, changing those things. He specializes and doing what people tell you is impossible to do. I love it. Every time people are like, man, it's just so hard and so difficult, I think about what God is looking at. And he's looking down at us saying, okay, now it's time. Because he specializes in what we tell him is impossible. You can't surely use my place of pain. You can't surely use that thing in my world. And he says, watch me. Get healed from it, and now you're going to speak, and now you're going to see. 13 years in therapy. I wonder how many times the devil lied to her and says, man, you're always going to be in this place. You can't tell anybody. You can't talk to anybody. This will be your place of pain. But in 2 years, God changes it around. And the thing that she couldn't talk about to anybody else for 13 years, now she's telling a church of 6,000 people on the weekend. And it's going to be seen across the world. A young girl's testimony. Her place of pain now became her testimony. Her place of pain now became a place of freedom for thousands and thousands of people around the world. All because she stepped out of that place that she was at. She came to the altar and got prayer. And now she is set free. It's not pain anymore. No, it's my testimony. It's my healing. What are you going to do tonight? What will your decision be tonight? I'm going to finish with this. Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey is, you know, so freaking funny. He says this. I know it's a funny way to end it, but just go with me. Jim Carrey says this. He says, I hope everybody could get rich and famous and will have everything they ever dreamed of so they will know that it's not the answer. If I just had a better job, more money, a better person. How many of us are guilty of saying that just to find out that it's not the answer? The answer is Him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He doesn't say, come to me all except. Come to me all but. Come to me all. You. You're broken. You're addicted. Come to me all. And when we do, our relationships and everything gets better. Our life and everything changes. So I want you to stand to your feet tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, God's going to set people free tonight. So I want to ask you right now, how many of you know you got that pain, that fix, that painkiller you've been trying to numb, that issue in your world right now? You've been going to that place and that thing and that person and that whatever it is. And you know, tonight, before you leave this place, you got to get set free. Some of you might be a physical addiction. Some of you might be something mental or something in the heart or something else in your life. But you know, before you leave this place, you want to leave that pain. You want to leave that hurt here at the altar and walk away from this place a free person. If that's you tonight, whatever that issue might be, if that's you, I want you just to lift your hands up right now. Say, yeah, that's me. That's me tonight. I got some pain. I got some painkillers, some things that I'm going to. And before I leave, I got to get free. I got to get healing. I got to get breakthrough from that thing. Come on, nice and high. Lift those hands up. Come on, the devil can't follow you into this place right now. He can't follow you into this place. When you lift your hands up, he's going to keep kind of putting his pressure on you right now before your hands are up, because this is his last chance. As soon as you lift your hands and step into that place, he can't follow you into that place because he's disobedient. You got to lift your hands and see what God's going to do. What's God going to do? What's God going to do tonight? He's going to set you free. He's going to bring a miracle for you. The ministry team's going to come forward right now, and we're going to sing. We're going to worship. And as we do, I want you, as you feel comfortable, to make your way from your seat, and you're just going to run down forward, and we're going to see God do a miracle tonight. We're going to see God set you free tonight. Tonight is the night. Tonight is the night where everything's going to change for you. Tonight is the night where He's going to set you free. Tonight is the night that you get reborn. Get reborn into that place of destiny, into that place of purpose. Come on, lift your hands if that's you. God, tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare that this is the moment where everything changes. This is the moment where everything turns. This is the moment where they're going to get set free. God, I pray freedom from the mind, freedom in the body, freedom from the pain, freedom from the hurt. God, that tonight everything's going to change. God, tonight, generation after generation will be blessed and set free because of the decision that these people are going to make. Come on, your kids are depending on it. Your family is waiting for you to step out in Jesus' name. So right now, I want you just to come. If that was you, just come forward right now and get prayer. Come on, let's worship. Let's sing. One more day. Holy Spirit, fill us all again. Holy Spirit, fill us all again. lift your hands. We're going to keep praying for everybody who came forward, make sure that you're going to leave here. But we as well want to be just respectful of time and close the service. You can pick up your kids. We know you got things to do. But I believe this is the time that we're meant to step into, is that time of real freedom, real breakthrough. Get free from that pain and that hurt. And no longer numb it and mask it, but get healed. And as you get healed from it, you'll see every relationship, every friendship, relationship with your spouse, relationship with your future spouse, relationship with your kids, and everything will get better if we can just deal with that place of hurt. So I just want to say how proud we are that so many people responded to that. Sometimes it's not an easy walk, but it's the real deal. It's the one that changes everything in your life. So when you lift your hands, let me bless you. God, I thank you for this magnificent church. God, I thank you for North Campus. I thank you that the best is yet to come for them. I thank you that they're stepping into a new day. I thank you that the most attractive thing to people is freedom. And I thank you that because of the freedom they're getting here, God is going to attract these people who are broken, who are hurting, who need you. God, I thank you that their life is going to be better. God, I thank you as they go to work tomorrow, they're going to step in with a new perspective. God, a different perspective of where they're at. I thank you that San Diego will be better because of these powerhouses for you. Let this be the day that everything changed in our world. Bless them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.